The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time.
Our Shepherd's View with Bishop Michael Mulvey is generously underwritten by the Corpus Christi Area Chapter of the Knights of Columbus. The Knights, who do so much for the Catholic Church and its many and various ministries, have expanded their support to include the radio evangelization efforts of KLUX HD Radio. Our thanks to the Corpus Christi Area Knights of Columbus for underwriting this segment of Our Shepherd's View.
Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. This is Kim Sager in substituting for Barbara Little for a couple of weeks. Don't worry, she'll be back before you know it. Today I'm visiting with Bishop Mulvey, of course, and we will be talking about the message of discipleship in the Gospel of Luke. So stay with us and we'll be right back.
Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center is offering a men's spiritual exercises retreat July 25th through 28th at the Retreat Center, 1200 Lantana, in the shadow of the Big Blue Dome just off Interstate 37. During this retreat, men will be led deeper into a relationship with God through the power of prayer and quiet time with the Lord. To register now, please visit OurLadyOfCorpusChristi.org or call 361-289-9095.
Welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Kim Sager, substituting for Barbara Little for a couple of weeks, and I'm here with Bishop Mulvey on this beautiful Sunday morning. Good morning, and how are you?
I'm very well, Kim. How are you this morning?
Oh, great. Thanks.
Good.
We'll start reading the Gospel, and the thought is that we should all be preparing ourselves for Mass today, and Bishop Mulvey is going to talk a little bit about what we should be thinking about during Mass with this Gospel, and just as important, what we should be taking away with us from Mass to help us through the week. So with that, we will go to our Gospel, which today is from Luke.
To affirm what you were saying, I think the Gospel really has to be the center of our lives as far as being disciples, and it's interesting the Gospel today will lead us into that topic of discipleship. So we'll begin with the Gospel today and reflect on it a little bit. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the days of Jesus' being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there. But they would not welcome him, because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and he journeyed to another village. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens, and birds have the sky to nest. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead. But you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." To him Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what he has left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'll start out by asking you a question because this Gospel and next week's involve discipleship. Would you help us by defining what we mean by discipleship today?
Certainly. Well, discipleship, of course, means that I am a disciple of someone else. meaning that there is a master, a teacher, from whom I learn and whom I model my own life. In the case of Jesus, of course, we recognize him as he said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so as disciples of the Lord, we are certainly a disciple of the truth, and that truth being the person of Jesus Christ. And so even listening to the gospel today and every day, we should always open ourselves to be in front of the gospel as the truth of the Lord speaking to us, as if he were with us today, speaking to us. Many times I think people, when they listen to the gospel or maybe even listening to the homilies or the sermons that they hear at church, they do so in a critical fashion, like, I agree with that, I don't agree with that, almost analyzing what the preacher of the gospel, the priest, is saying. But it should never be that way in front of the Word of God. And so the disciple is one who opens their heart, their mind, their ears to listen to the words of truth, the words of Jesus, the Word of God, and allow that word to take root in their life. And in that presence of the word in their life, they are being formed. And it's in that formation in the word of God then that we become disciples who act, who sit in front of the master listening to his words, and then formed in that word begin to act as he did. And so we do what the Lord did. We reach out to the poor. We love our neighbor, we forgive our enemy, etc., etc. So a disciple is one who listens and then in that formation of listening acts in the same way that the Lord, the Master, does.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's very helpful to me. What is the significance of Jesus having three encounters in this gospel?
Well, I think Jesus is almost, I mean, you know, if I always like to say that if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, then everything that is true, even in human life, like such as psychology, if there's any truth that is found in psychology, it's found already in the gospel. And I think in some ways he is almost looking at three scenarios, like already knowing the people that to whom he's speaking, knowing how people respond to such a difficult call to follow him. And so he sees the short-sightedness of disciples who say, okay, they're not going to accept you here. We'll just call down fire on these people. And Jesus rebukes him and says, no, we just move on to the next village. And so it's almost saying that's not the way my disciples act. If they don't accept you, as he said in one gospel reading, you shake the dust and you move on to the next town. That's the way a disciple is. A disciple is not one who moves in and just, you know, takes over. But if they don't accept the word, then certainly we pray for them, we love them, but we also move on. The other, I think, again, there's two more where he says the first response to the words, follow me, is, well, let me go bury my father. Well, Jesus is not, of course, saying that we should turn our back on our father, but we shouldn't look for those excuses not to follow him unreservedly. And so he's saying, let the dead bury the dead. The dead, of course, their meaning is not a derogatory term, but the dead meaning, if you really want to be full of life, then come after me. If you don't want to be full of life, then go do your mundane, your duties. And the second one is always that, well, let me go home first and put my things in order. Let me get my life in order. In other words, I think those three scenarios say to all of us as disciples, no, when we say yes to the Lord to be a disciple, it's immediate. It's wholehearted. It's not with our conditions put on it. And we all do that. You know, when we're asked to do something, well, let me first do this, let me do that. But the response of the disciple of Jesus, the response to the truth, is immediate. You know, we give ourselves to the person of Christ, and the consequences are there, and we deal with them. But once we try to analyze and calculate our response, then we're among the spiritually dead, you might say.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. We didn't read the first reading, but it's from the first book of Kings, and it involves Elijah's apprenticeship of Elisha to succeed him, and what my lector book describes as his radical surrender to the will of God, as well as the demands of discipleship. So I'm wondering, there's always, of course, the link from the Old Testament to the New in the readings, and I'm wondering about, you know, what that means about a radical surrender and how that is something, how does that apply to us today?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think an analogy, I always like analogies, and I think, you know, if you're hiring someone for a job, and that's why you do interviews, you interview them and you look at the two or three people, and you ask perhaps the same questions, and you find those that, well, you know, they kind of put conditions on their response, and others say, yes, I can do that, and it's more an immediate. And so you even see from the reactions of what your questions are in a hiring process that you choose the best candidates. And I think in some ways when we're dealing with such a much more radical and much more beautiful call, which is a call to discipleship, that our response should never be a hesitation. It should not be one that's full of conditions. It's in the present moment. I think, you know, the Lord, when he calls, it's a personal call. It's not something that's up on a bulletin board and I just happen to pass by. It's very personal. It's not that we can audibly hear the voice of the Lord in that way, but we know in our heart that we're being called to something great. And, you know, again, so often in life we try to calculate, well, what will be the consequence? What will I have to do? When we follow the person of Jesus Christ, it's an immediate response. It's a yes. Yes, I will follow. Then we look back and, okay, this is part of that call. I think each one of us that has followed the Lord, either in marriage or priesthood or religious life, or life never turns out the way we think it was going to from day one. It has its changes, but the thing that's constant in our life is the person of Jesus, and he never disappoints us. The Father never turns his back on us, and so we continue. That's our choice, is the person of Jesus, and the others are the consequences of that, which we can carry with him. I don't know if that makes sense, but
well, it does. When you were talking about the call and listening to the call of Jesus to us, I assume it's safe to say he's calling to us all.
Sure.
Where some of us are not ready to hear him, or we're not taking the time to be quiet and listen, and it's an ongoing process too.
Sure.
So one of the things that occurred to me was in this discipleship mission, the other thing about the first reading in the gospel were the ways in which Elijah and Jesus reprimand. And is that part of listening to what he's telling us? Or why do they reprimand differently, and what does that mean?
Well, I think the reprimand is more of a wake-up call, is to say, you know, I called. It's like our parents. I mean, it's like our parents. You know, I called you once, I called you twice. I'm not going to call you a third time. And it's not in any way that the Lord or Elijah want to shame people, but it's to wake up to the great call that we have. Pope Leo, St. Leo the Great, had a phrase in one of his Christmas homilies, which was, recognize, O Christian, your dignity. And when we're called, it's the call of a God to his creature. And that is a call of dignity, a call to wake up. And so the reprimand is certainly not, as we would think, you know, if you're punished, go to the corner. But it's a reprimand in the sense that you're sleeping in front of who you are as a child of God, as a disciple of Christ with such dignity. And so the reprimand is, don't fall asleep, don't be dead spiritually, but wake up and follow the Lord.
Very good. We have to take a quick break, but please stay with us and we'll be right back.
St. Philip the Apostle Catholic Church Parish Hall, 3513 Cimarron, will be a busy place on Friday and Saturday, July 12th and 13th, as the Catholic Daughters of the Americas, Court 2399, holds its annual rummage sale. It begins at 7 a.m. and closes at 2 p.m. each day. Parishioners have donated gently used items, including clothing, jewelry, housewares, and many, many different items. Something for just about everyone. Proceeds benefit scholarships. Throughout the years, Catholic Daughters have awarded over $60,000 to high school seniors, and with the help of the community, they hope to continue that effort. For more information, call 361-232-8723.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. I'm with our shepherd, Bishop Mulvey, and we're talking about the call to discipleship in the Gospel of Luke. And what I'd like to get to in this part of the program is a little bit more about what we should be thinking about during Mass with this Gospel in mind. It's a nice chance for us to talk about it now and then when you go to Mass today. And then the follow-up of what we take home with us. And one of the things that I was thinking about is something someone told me one time about when we meditate, we're listening to God, and when we pray, we're talking to God. And to me, those are both very important parts of what I think about during Mass. And talk us through a little bit of that and this particular gospel.
That's a good question. I think, of course, the Mass, when you think about it, it is the liturgy. You're entering into a liturgy, which is in the image of the early Christians in the book of Revelation, is like entering into another realm. I mean, that's why the great cathedrals of Europe and some of our own beautiful churches should really transport us into another realm. And so our whole presence there at Mass, at the Eucharist, should be something that envelops us, almost like walking into another world. And that's not a bad thing, to be somewhere else. And I say that because in that other dimension, which is called church in the liturgical life of the prayer, and that's from the moment that the processional begins with the singing, participating in that, the sign of the cross, the listening, the singing of the Gloria, the saying of the Gloria, the listening to the readings, the homily, and then entering into the liturgy of the Eucharist, where we have the beautiful reality of Christ's presence in his body and blood. All of that is prayer. All of that is based really in Scripture. I mean, we don't have time to go through that today. But I'm saying all that because it really is a moment to contemplate everything. And I've always found, you know, that throughout the liturgy, something may strike me that was one of the prayers. There's one prayer that's repeated throughout the liturgical year, which just says, "Father, we offer back to you the gift you have given to us, your Son, Jesus Christ." That we're giving to God in that moment, in that hour of prayer, we're returning to him what he's given to us. We think of our gifts. We think, oh, I've got a nice house, I've got a nice car. But the gift of gifts is his Son, Jesus Christ. And no decline in the stock market, no crash of the financial institutions can take that gift away from us. So when I come into the Eucharist, I'm coming as that disciple that we just talked about in the first segment, the disciple who is hungry to hear, who wants to be spoken to, who needs something in their life, something changed, needs a word of encouragement, a word of comfort. And so we really come in that other realm in the church to pray, to listen, to be empty. I think, you know, the more we can be empty, the more we can receive. The more full we are, the less we receive. And so to be at the Mass today, if you're on your way to Mass today, to listen to the Word of God, is to really not go in to expect anything, but go in empty, to say, it's often said in the Old Testament, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And let yourself be surprised by God. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that is enumerated in the book of Isaiah is a fear of the Lord, or we also call it wonder and awe in God's presence. And I think if in Mass today, if you just went in and let yourself be awed, yeah, I don't know if I always tell the kids, you know, the word awesome this, awesome that, it's nobody's awesome but God, because only God can take your breath away. And so just go in, and maybe it's a simple gesture, it's a simple word. Your mind might be open to something that is said in the prayers or in the readings or in the homily. Just Open yourself to be awed by God today.
And that's a beautiful explanation of it. And it strikes me that taking that very active part of emptying your mind, it's hard to do.
It is.
You're sitting there thinking about things you shouldn't be thinking about, where you're going to have lunch and who you're going to see that
afternoon.
Did I
leave the roast on in the oven?
But really emptying yourself and leaving yourself open, is that requires a very active participation, not just sitting there in the pew and going.
But it's also
motions.
A gift. It's one of the other gifts of the Spirit, which is called reverence or piety. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I've been doing these confirmations, as Barbara and I have talked about over the weeks, and explaining those gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of them being reverence. And so turn off well, don't turn off the radio right now because you need to hear this. But after I speak, of course, then turn the radio off. Or, you know, as you're preparing to go to Mass each Sunday, don't have the radio, the television going all over the place, or but try to enter into a spirit of reverence, calming the movements of the heart, the movements of the mind down so that you can tune in to God, really. Mm-hmm. And that's a gift, to ask the Spirit to give you that reverence and piety so that you can hear.
The other thing, I guess the next part of this is what we take away with us. And I always think one of the most beautiful metaphors that we contemplate in Paul is the body of Christ. And participating, becoming the body of Christ in during Mass, but then the second part is going out into the community and being the body of Christ. And so tell us what we should be doing in the upcoming week that takes this gospel with us.
Sure. Well, there's that, of course, the Latin phrase at the end of Mass in the Latin Mass is ite missae est, which means go. It's a command. It's not, oh, thank goodness it's over now, we can go home. But no, it's ite, which is go, almost get out of here. The Mass has ended, which means take what you have. And Pope John Paul II explained this so beautifully in a letter that he wrote about Sunday, the meaning of Sunday and the meaning of the Mass, and really said that that is a command to us. You've come here as a disciple to hear, to be renewed, to be recommitted. Now go. Go into the world. And of course, as great doers in our society, people that have to be busy doing something in order to be worth anything, we forget that being who you are is greater than doing something. And so the first thing that we should always do as we leave Mass is that we have been transformed, we have been changed. Every time you encounter someone, you are changed in that encounter. Even meeting someone in the grocery store, that brief encounter in some ways changes me. Well, if you think of that in terms of what has just happened in the Eucharist, you have encountered the Lord in his word. He has spoken to you. If, again, you're not judging it, analyzing it, but being open, you've encountered his word. In the Eucharist, the real presence of Christ in the body and blood of the Lord, you've encountered him, and so you're changed. If, again, we are cooperating with that grace. So as I walk out of Mass and return to my car and go home, I'm changed. And that is what my first duty and responsibility is as a disciple, and that is to be Christ, you know, to other. And that's where St. Leo said, recognize your dignity. We've been changed. We've been transformed. Christ is more in us now than when we first began. And so it might be an encounter, you know, if we go to a restaurant or something, it's just to be Christ to that waiter instead of demanding, you know, my food now or get angry. Be Christ to that person, or at home or at work the next day throughout the week, is to take that message. Jesus said, follow me. Well, you know, first let me get mad at my employee because blah, blah. No, follow me now in this moment. And so to me, you know, living the Christian life day after day, leaving Mass is a recommitment to live Christ in every present moment with every person I meet. People I like, people I don't like, because we're human beings, with our friends, our enemies, you know, Jesus. There's so many things in the gospel that could direct our week if we let it. If you only love those who love you, what good is that? Even the hypocrites can do that. And that's where Jesus said, I command you to love your enemies. And so there's so much there that can change our life if we live it out as we leave.
Well, that's beautiful, and I hope everybody takes that home with them after Mass today, and thank you for sharing that
with us. Let's hope so. We'd have a different world, wouldn't we?
We certainly would. We most certainly would. Do you have any recommendations, perhaps for further reading along to emphasize what's being said in this particular gospel or in general?
Well, there's a lot of good commentaries on the scriptures, of course, some great Catholic commentaries and even others that certainly help us to understand.
Who do you like in particular for Catholic commentators?
Well,
there's an awful lot out there, and sometimes we waste a lot of time on things.
There are. There's one, of course, it's a little more technical, I guess, it's called Sacra Pagina. It's a new set that I think put out by Liturgical Press, but it has all of the Gospels, and the whole entire New Testament. There's a Protestant exegete from years ago. There's some things that would not jive with Catholic theology, but overall, if you're looking at just a biblical explanation, it's very practical, is a Barclay's. I think it's William Barclay, if I'm not mistaken. But he has a commentary on all the Gospels and the writings of the New Testament. But above all, I would say for further reading is just to take the Gospel of the week and spend time with it during the week. Because that Gospel on that Sunday can really follow us through the whole week. I always think, if you eat too much, you get stuffed and you can't even see straight.
You can't digest it all.
Actually, all the commentaries and all that stuff. But if you just take a bit of the gospel each week, and not only read it, but then try to live it out, it becomes much more digestible and certainly more palatable and really transformative in our life.
Thank you very much. Would you like to lead us in a closing prayer?
Sure. Lord, on this day, the first day of the week, this Sunday, we ask you to bless our day with a new openness to life, a new openness to your word, a new openness to your presence. Help us to live this week as your disciple so that we may never turn around and away from you, but always follow you without reservation. Bless our families and especially the sick, the poor, the homeless, and all those who are in need. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you all this day.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.
The preceding program, Our Shepherd's View with Bishop Michael Mulvey, was underwritten by the Corpus Christi Area Knights of Columbus, predominantly in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. We at KLUX HD appreciate the continued support of the Area Knights of Columbus, and in particular, their underwriting of this segment of Our Shepherd's View.